How many want God to do a new thing in your life? I'm setting you up. Be careful if you raise your hand. I'm just warning you. Because I think that's a real challenge. I really do. I think sometimes when God is trying to bless us, I can use scriptural examples how, you know, the early church was so used to the law that when the writer of Hebrews began to break it down, and he said that in times past, God has spoken through the prophets, and he gave us the law through Moses, and now he's speaking through his son. One of the reasons that the Hebrew people had such a difficult time and they needed to be brought forth or be led into something new is because our brains have a way. They've studied this now in science, not only with Sheryl Crow songs, but also with any habit that happens in your life. We know now that your brain actually creates highways. That's not a technical term. And over the next 7 seconds, I'm going to tell you everything that I know about brain science, but it won't take me long. But I do know that your brain forms connections. Yeah. Your brain, once you've done something a certain number of ways, a certain number of times, your brain just locks it in. And anything that doesn't feel familiar like that starts to feel frustrating. And that's why some of the things that you do in your life that you don't even like the results of are so difficult to undo, because you've established a way of doing things. We even say that. We say, well, that's just the way he is. What are we saying? We're talking about his neural pathways. We don't call it neural pathways because our friends would look at us funny. So we say, oh, that's just the way he is. Well, that's not just the way he is. It's the way his brain has been trained, or it's the way that her brain has been trained. I don't want to be sexist about it. Women have issues and habitual addictions too. Tell somebody, say, change your ways. No shouting over that. But yet, excuse me for a moment. I'm just trying to reconcile the fact that when I read my scripture, see, I am doing a new thing. It felt exciting. But then when we actually begin to discuss what it means, because God says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. In other words, God is saying to a people who have been exiled into Babylonian captivity, he's saying, I'm trying to bless you. I've been trying to bless you. All your life, I've been trying to bless you. All your life, I've been trying to release what you need. All your life, I've been trying to give you what is in me. I've been trying to flow through you and flow to you. And touch your neighbor again. I won't do this, but maybe about 10 more times. Tell him, God is trying to bless you. He is trying to bless you. But Isaiah speaks up because the people of Israel have been, by their behaviors, blocking the blessing of God. So I called this message, Barriers to Blessings. Because just like there are blessings, I mean, real blessings, not just cars and houses, those are fine. Not just pools and boyfriends, although if you get one of those or both of those, I'll celebrate with you. But far beyond that, God wants to bless you at the very state of your being. That's what he said to Abraham. You will be a blessing. Not just you will be blessed, but everybody you touch, talk to, even look at will be blessed just because they got in proximity to you. That's the promise. That's why God brought his people forth, so that they would be blessed. And the reason that he wanted them to be blessed is so they could be a blessing. And that's what we're talking about in this series, is that sometimes we experience, here's the term in business terminology. Any business owners in the house? I need to know who to pray for, because it is not easy to lead an organization, is it? And if you started your business, raise your hand. If you started your business. Now see, that takes a lot of courage, because every business has barriers to entry. That's the technical term. It's startup costs, government regulations, knowledge that you may not have that existing competitors already have. And so even to think about starting a business should make you a little nauseous, because there are barriers to entry. One thing that has changed in our modern age is that in regards to creativity and content, there are so many different ways to distribute content, then it's no longer like it was. It's not like the old days. In the old days, you had to have a record label to put out an album. You had to have a lot of money to book studio time. Well, now, if you have the right software and a SoundCloud, you could just put your stuff out. If it's any good, maybe it'll get somebody's attention. I mean, if you really consistently, I'm not saying it's easier, because now there are more than ever many different people and many different entities vying for attention. But what's happened is the barrier to entry has really been broken down. And now the barrier to entry is no longer, do you have enough money to make an album, or do you have somebody who will help you make an album? It's, are you any good? And are you consistent enough that you will put out enough stuff until you connect with your audience? So I kind of feel like that's what we're trying to understand here in Isaiah 43 and Hebrews chapter 6, although these scriptures are separated by about 7 centuries of time. I think God is trying to get us to see that the barriers that were before us to keep us from experiencing His blessing are no longer there. So I'm talking about shame that was dealt with at the cross. I'm talking about your weakness that can actually become strength. I'm talking about the mistakes of your past that you relive in your mind over and over again. I'm saying God has dealt with that, defeated death, defeated the grave, taken your shame. How many want to thank God that the barrier has already been broken? Just receive it right now. Because since you couldn't get to God, God came down to you, wrapped Himself up, looking like a little infant, but really He was infinite, coming through the eons, coming through the ages, coming through eternity. Can I preach like the barrier is broken? As a matter of fact, when I even look out over our church, I see lots of barriers broken. I see people who shouldn't even be in church together praising God right beside each other, like we have the same baptism, the same faith, the same birth, the same hope. It gets me excited. Now, if the essence of the gospel is that God breaks barriers and that He broke every barrier, even the righteous requirements of the law, which were fully met in Him, so that you might be fully found in Him, so that nothing could separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus your Lord, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. When Paul wanted to say it, he said it like that, etc. None of it can keep me from the love and the blessing of God, except my unbelief. Because all of that can be true, but if you don't believe it's true, it won't be true for you. Even if you shout about it, but when you go home, you really don't think that God is doing a new thing, you will stay stuck in what was. And I don't envy Isaiah. Damn, he was a much better preacher than I will ever be, to say the least. Even the fact that I would say that feels arrogant to say that. You know that. Isaiah, let me tell you how good he was at his job. Okay, he's called the eagle-eyed prophet because he was prophesying stuff that he wouldn't even live to see. So he was preaching the sermons that the people would need for something that they weren't even going through yet, that he would never even go through. And so God would download what they would need, and God knew that his people would worship these other gods, even though that the God of heaven had promised to a man called Abraham, who was the father of their faith, that I will bless you and you will be a blessing, and there will never be a time that you will not be blessed. And not only will you be blessed, but all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you, all of them. Now, I'm not just doing this for one nation, one people group. The heart of God has always been that all of us would be blessed, that every barrier would be broken down, not just in one zip code, not just one ethnicity, not just one denomination, but that all people would be blessed through those who are called by His name. That's the promise. Here's the problem. You notice that they always, like, hang out together. The problem is that the people of God blocked not only their own blessing, but the blessing that they were created to distribute to the earth through their unbelief in the true and living God. So Isaiah knows this, and he knows that there will be a time when they will live in captivity, in bondage, that blessed people can still live in bondage. Mentally, emotionally. Blessed people can still live in bondage. And they weren't imprisoned in physical cells. They were taken away into a Babylonian land where a lot of their life really wasn't that bad. It wasn't that they lacked physically. It was just that they were in an unfamiliar, strange place away from the place God had called them. Usually when we think of the opposite of blessing, we think that the situation would be really bad. It wasn't really the situation that got bad for these people that Isaiah is writing to. It was the state of their soul. And so the situation wasn't that terrible, but the state of their soul, very dry, very destitute, and very desperate. And into that situation, Isaiah speaks forth a promise from God. And he says to the people who are not yet in captivity, but they will be, so he's giving them what they need for what they're going to go through that they don't know about yet. That's why you need to take notes in church, even if you don't think it's for you right now. I'm not a parent, but you never know when you might get one of those little puppies. You might need the manual. What did he say 4 years ago? Well, he has a difficult task because he's speaking to a future that they don't experience yet. And so maybe they're not listening. So watch what he does. I want to back up a few verses. Go to verse 15. He reminds them who he is. I am the Lord, your Holy One, because Isaiah is only a mouthpiece. He is not the message. He is the mouthpiece of the message. I am the Lord, your Holy One. That's a cool thing that unholy people could claim a personal relationship with a holy God because the barrier has been broken. If Isaiah could talk like that and Jesus hasn't even lived yet, how can we talk about our relationship with God living on this side of the cross? I'm broken, but I belong to one whose name is exalted, whose name is holy, and in the center of unbroken praise. I am the Lord. You belong to me.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.